Every day around 12 o'clock, I look up and the show's almost over. It's flying by here on a Tuesday. But don't worry, we got plenty of more exciting content to get you through your afternoon and over to Blaine and Mickey. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved in the conversation. It is your last opportunity in this segment to impress us with your 615-day activities for a chance to win two tickets to a future Titan game. That is what we are doing. We are all celebrating 615 Day. It is the day. It is a day worthy of celebration across this great city and across this great state, because there's nobody does it better than the 615, baby. So if you want to nominate yourself, you can give us a call, and we will consider your nomination. Lucas is patiently awaiting all of your responses. He's currently locked in on Portugal versus Hungary right now in the Euro 2020 Group F stage. Are we Portugal or are we Hungary at this point? Because Ronaldo, I want to root for him, but it's tough for me to root for anybody that's much prettier than me, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, with no alliances, I tend to root for the underdog, Hungary, in the middle of a group of death that includes Portugal, the defending champs, and then France and Germany. So I think it'd be cool to see the Hungarians somehow get out of that group.
It's not going to happen.
Probably not, but they're managing this low block pretty well. Portugal yet to break through.
Well, you've kept engaged throughout the course of the show, and I appreciate that. Good job out of you. Professionalism.
No, the issue is when Italy plays tomorrow at 2 p.m., but that's going to be a Blaine and Mickey thing.
Yep, that's not my problem. I pawn you off on the next guys. So, before we are joined by Adam Sparks of the Tennessean, his debut on this show, and Sparks, we are not only celebrating 615 Day, but we are celebrating Adam Sparks, who has done a tremendous job. This was his last week on the Vanderbilt beat. He has been the best. Since Jim Wyatt left, there's nobody better, right? Like, that. There is nobody, and that's no slight on all of the great writers who have come through the Tennessean. The Tennessean has been a different place probably over the course of the last 5 years. I think when Rex Road left is when things kind of shifted dramatically. And of course, David Clymer, who is famous even to people outside the city of Nashville, outside of the state of Tennessee, the famous sports columnist. Who, if you've paid attention to sports media and sports journalism at all, you are familiar with. But Sparks, outside of Wyatt, nobody better.
How many reporters come away with a framed jersey of the team that they cover as a thank you gift?
Nobody, as far as I'm concerned.
I haven't seen that.
Listen, if the day ever comes that the Tennessee Titans are rid of me, I will not be receiving a framed frame Titans.
You might receive something, but it won't be.
It'll be a kick in the ass. Get out. You're done. Be gone. We're finally rid of you. No, it's been. He has done such great work with them. I think they respect the way that he has covered them. It's always been fair and objective, in a way that it comes through, and you don't see a lot of people like that. So we're excited to have Sparks as a part of the show coming up next. We'll talk some Vandy boys when we get to that. But here, we ourselves are wanting to celebrate 615 Day. Lucas, you have had 2 hours of the show to think about this. You have talked about perhaps canoeing the Harpeth River. Is that something you're just saying in tongue-in-cheek, or is that something you're actually considering?
No, it's in the works. My roommate and I have been talking about doing that today. We've got this giant canoe just sitting outside of our house.
Do you own the canoe?
He got it from, like, his uncle up in Clarksville. He just came home with an enormous canoe on the top of his car and was like, help me bring this in. So we had to figure out a way to...
It lives in your apartment, the canoe?
No, it's like standing upright outside of our fence in our little backyard, just looming over the entire backyard. It's huge. But I think we're going to do that, but I need to make it quick because I do need to prep for the Nashville Soccer Show tonight, 9 p.m. Myself, Will Bowling, Davey Shepard.
All right, so should I take offense that I was not invited?
What, canoeing?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
And yet I'm still not invited. 615-737-1045. I'll tell you what I'm thinking about doing. Okay, so canoe is your nominee. That is what you're going to do today.
Canoe and the Harpeth.
The Mighty Harpeth. Okay.
And the Nashville Soccer Show. That's pretty 615.
That's coming up tonight at 9 p.m. on the airwaves and on your favorite streaming digital platform is where you can hang out with Lucas and Will Bowling. And is Davey Shepard on today?
Yes, we will have Davey Shepard talking Nashville Soccer Club storylines, some Euros, Nashville finally back underway this Friday after 2 weeks off.
Okay. Well, you can tell that he has done nothing during the course of this show but watch the Euros at this point. And I am forgiving of that because, of course, he will talk about it later tonight. Eddie is in Nashville. He wants to tell us how he's going to celebrate 615 Day for a chance to win a pair of future Titans tickets, which we will announce the winner at 12:15. So now is the time if you want to take your shot. Eddie, what you got for me, brother?
We're going to barbecue and shoot off some fireworks for 615 Day.
Okay. How in depth are the fireworks going? Like what kind of fireworks are we talking here?
What are they called? You can only do them in a certain county. They shoot off the mortars.
Okay. The mortars.
That's all you got to say. You can only do them in a certain county.
Okay. So Eddie's bringing out the big gun.
What kind of barbecue?
We're going to barbecue some tri-tip and some corn on the cob.
Ooh, man, that sounds nice. Eddie, you are probably going to have a better afternoon than many people. So I hope that you enjoy the fireworks show and that you're in a county legal for you to shoot off mortar fireworks.
That's the best answer to that. What kind of fireworks? The kind that's only legal in this county.
Oh, my God. do you get into fireworks? Like, do you enjoy fireworks?
I mean, they're fine. I've never been one to just get a giant kick out of blowing things up, but that's just me. But I like them.
I mean,
I did my fair share of like shooting Roman candles into my friend's eyeballs, as you do when you're a kid.
It's your friend's eyeballs. God. 615-737-1045. Yeah, I hit a Roman candle kick, I think, when I was in grade school, and the Harry Potter movies had just come out, so of course we were acting like we were in Harry Potter and using fireworks, explosives, as magic wands, which was not terribly safe or smart. A lot of burn marks, a lot of ashiness. Well, that's a different kind of situation, but a lot of ill-advised firework usage in my youth. 615-737-1045 is how you tell us for a chance to win tickets to a future Titans game, how you are celebrating 615 Day. We have a lot of great nominees. It seems that we will have a few more before the show concludes, but for me, I've been thinking about this, right? Because I've had, you know, we've been having this conversation about, you know, whether I should consider myself and whether you guys should consider me a local or not. 6 years coming up in August. I think that 5 years is the benchmark for most people. I am willing to hear the argument for 10 before I can officially consider myself a local. I do own a home here, so as far as I'm concerned, that and all the stress that went through that is enough to make me feel local. But I've been thinking about this because 6 years in Nashville, I've gotten to see a lot, gotten to do a lot. There's so many great things about the city and the surrounding area that you have to experience to be able to get the feel. Whether it's, you know, you get down here and everybody goes through the Broadway phase in their life. Who among us can say that they haven't gone through the Broadway phase of their life? Most of us, hopefully, graduate from that phase, and you get a little more refined in the places where you choose to spend your time, whether it's Midtown, or maybe Midtown's more a college thing. Maybe that's the transition, Midtown before Broadway, and then you go to the Gulch and Printer's Alley and places where you can have a more relaxed atmosphere and less, you know, shot straight to your face. Or, you know, things like Belmead Plantation, or as Lucas is going to do later, canoeing the Harpeth River. So many great and historic restaurants. I don't know if there's concerts going on tonight, but of course live music should factor in, I would imagine. I haven't made up my mind yet. So we're going to take these two calls and then I'll decide, because it seems that Uncle Bob in Columbia would like to weigh in first before we get to Bill in Lebanon. Let me know, Uncle Bob, how are you celebrating 615 Day?
Hey, good to hear you again. I haven't talked in a while. We've talked in the past. How will I celebrate if I got the tickets? I tried this morning, tried to give for a fifth caller, missed that. But how will I celebrate? I just get on bended knee and give thanks to the good Lord.
Man, I think that's great perspective, Bob. You know, just take some time, no matter what your religious affiliation is, to just kind of, you know, I mean, I got my Patrick Star. I don't have my Patrick Star Namaste shirt on, but just take a little time, meditate. Take some time to appreciate the all of the good things that come with living in this area code. 615-737-1045. We appreciate the call. I like that. That's good perspective. Very grounding from Uncle Bob. Always a pleasure to hear from him. Let's go to Bill in Lebanon, who wants to push back on the idea that I'm a local. Go ahead, Bill. Rip me.
Okay, what county is Lebanon in?
Oh, damn it.
Come on, Buck.
That's so good. I have no idea.
That's good stuff from Bill.
Bill, you nailed it.
Take a guess.
100%. It's not in Dixon
County. No, it's not in Dixon County. Okay. It starts with a W.
Williamson County.
No.
No.
No. Wilson County.
Wilson County. All right, Bill, you win.
Where's Murfreesboro?
Now Murfreesboro is in Williamson County, right?
No.
No?
No. It starts with an R.
Rutherford County.
There you go.
Hell yes.
A song. Rutherford County. There you go.
Rutherford County.
You're not a local yet. You got to know these things.
We're going to do a geography bee with
it's
him,
not
Bill.
Giles County. It's Giles County.
Bill, that is the smartest call I think that we've gotten in the history of the radio show. That was exceptional. He says, "Where's Lebanon? What county is Lebanon in? You idiot."
We're going to do this.
I kind of want to give him the tickets just for making me look like a fool. That was exceptionally well done. That I can respect. We've got people chiming in on where are the count, what cities are the very, or
we're
what counties
do
are
like
the various cities
whole
in.
Segments on this.
Unbelievable.
We're gonna do this.
Bill, I got by Bill. We will. Lucas will call the winner of the two Titans future tickets here in just a second. But coming up next, we're gonna get into some college baseball, College World Series to be specific, because Adam Sparks of the Tennessean gonna join us. Talk about them Vandy boys here on 104.5 The Zone. Okay, so the boys are back in town, except Adam. Well, no, Adam Sparks didn't have to leave for the Super Regional because Vanderbilt was hosting at Hawkins Field over the weekend, sweeping East Carolina in two games, and the wonderful Adam Sparks will join us for the first time. Is this his first appearance on the radio, on the radio station since this Tennessee embargo has been lifted?
Sure, yeah. Quite a while.
For real?
Oh, well, he tweeted that that Schaefer's been trying to get him on about 700 times over the course of the last couple of years.
Well, I will always take an advantage to tell take advantage of an opportunity to tell Schaefer to suck it, because we got Sparks before he did. So Adam Sparks of the Tennessean will join us momentarily, and we will talk about these Vandy boys. So this College World Series, because now we know the opponents, right? When we ended the show yesterday, the game between Virginia and Dallas Baptist was still underway. Now we know that the Vols will. Face Virginia in the first round of the College World Series. Lucas, we have, by the way, before we get into this, we have awarded a winner for the future Titans tickets here on Dad's Week on 104.5 The Zone as a part of our Father's Day preparations so that we can celebrate together. We have decided a winner, yes?
Yes. Cody went with the flattery route, said we get him through his day. We cheer him up. He listens all day on The Zone, and we appreciate that. But Cody's also a healthcare worker who will be heading home after listening to all of our shows and working and drinking some moonshine.
Homemade moonshine.
Day.
Homemade moonshine. So not just because Cody flattered us. You guys have come. Bill wasn't a 615 day nominee. So because by the letter of the law, he did not play the game. Otherwise, I would have given the tickets to Bill, be honest with you. And not because of any slight of Cody, because of course we want to take advantage to celebrate our healthcare workers for all of the great work that they have been doing throughout the course of the last 16 months without question. But Cody in Kingsport, Lucas will be calling you here momentarily and getting your information so we can send you to a future Titans game. And don't worry, if you missed out on these particular Titans tickets, we have many more tickets to concerts and events to give away throughout the course of this week. So stay tuned, because 104.5 The Zone is going to treat you right. Don't you worry about that. In the meantime, College World Series, we know the opponents. It will be Arizona for Vanderbilt, and it will be Virginia for the Tennessee Volunteers. We have talked about the differences between these two teams. We have broken them down at length, and largely the stigma around them is that Vandy is the pitching, the Vols are the bats. But as Mike Wilson, our buddy from the Knoxville News Sentinel, laid out yesterday, the pitching for the Vols has been exceptional to and helped them get to this point, hugely underrated in how they found themselves heading to Omaha. But we have plenty of time to talk about the Vols. In the meantime, let's talk about Vanderbilt. with Adam Sparks of the Tennessean. Sparks, is this the first appearance that you've made on the radio station since this this whole ridiculous thing has been lifted?
Absolutely. This is the breaking the seal or re-breaking the seal. It's been a couple years, I think.
Yeah.
So good to be back.
No question. It's good to have you. Thank you for taking some time. Let's start with the baseball itself before we get into the way that the university honored you over this weekend, the last weekend that you will be spending on the Vandy beat. By the way, congrats on your promotion, well deserved, for all of your great work. What was your main takeaway from Vandy sweeping East Carolina in the Super Regional?
I think that we maybe undervalue this team a little bit. I think I certainly do. You know, we've been sort of so pampered, I guess, so used over the years of seeing Vandy teams that just annihilate the opponents and run through the bracket that, you know, you don't even notice that they just won five straight at home in the NCAA tournament. But they basically coasted to Omaha. And I think along the way, myself included, I think we've looked at it and said, well, they don't really have a third pitcher. Well, the bullpen's got a few questions. They've got some deficiencies here and there, and they had a couple of games that they didn't really hit. And I think from more of an outside perspective, you look at Vandy and say they've got maybe the best two pitchers in the country, and they lead the SEC in batting average for a team that we look at and say they've got some weaknesses in the lineup. The statistically maybe the best hitting team in the conference, in the best conference out there. So, you know, they've made their way to Omaha with not a whole lot of resistance. And, you know, right now they're the odds-on favorite. They've gotten some help with other teams getting knocked out for that. But there's certainly a path for them to go all the way.
So to that end, because I mean, this happens a lot in sports with things that are consistently great. You start to take them for granted in a way that you're describing, or you start to undervalue them, even though their greatness might be different, but it's still achieving at the same kind of rate as years past. How important, Spark, and maybe you don't think this is the case for this team yet, but I'd be curious to get your perspective. Do you think they have kind of, the 2021 team has kind of gotten out from under the shadow of the 2019 defending national champions? Do you think that they have accomplished that just by getting back to Omaha, or do you think there's still work to be done in that regard?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is a relatively young team. The 2019 team, if you ever look at a ranking of like the best teams in college baseball history, that Vandy 2019 team is usually at least in the top 10, sometimes the top 5. So that's a historically great team. And yet getting to Omaha, the fact that this team was technically the defending national champion for 2 years because of the COVID year, and most of these guys weren't even on that team. Kumar Rocker is actually the only guy that even played in Omaha last time they were there. A few other guys were on the team but didn't get to play when they were in the College World Series. So it's a completely different team. They've moved on. You know, getting to Omaha in baseball is like reaching the Final Four or in basketball or the college football playoff in football. It's kind of the mark of, you know, you made it. You get a T-shirt. Even if you don't win the whole thing, you get a T-shirt, you get a ring. This means something, getting this far. And so I think that means a lot. And really, to go back to the point of taking things for granted, I think there's some of the COVID year that I think is in this, because had Vandy played last season, there would be more layers to each of these players' stories. So, you know, there would have already been a run through the postseason, maybe a run to Omaha last year, where we could look at these players and say, ah, he did that last year, so he's the guy that needs to be up on the mound now or up to bat right now because he's done it before. The fact that we didn't get last postseason, means this is all new. I found myself looking through that during the regional, super regional, saying, whoa, hey, that guy's never done that before. Well, almost none of them have done it before. So I think every team is probably a little bit in that boat where they feel oddly inexperienced and younger than they probably are, and Vandy's certainly in that boat.
We're talking about Vanderbilt baseball on their way to Omaha, Nebraska for the College World Series with Adam Sparks of the Tennessean. At Adam Sparks is where you can follow him. Carter Young has been so instrumental, certainly to getting them to this point. Sparks, but having a difficult time throughout the course of the postseason. He dislocated his shoulder back in May against FIU. How big a moment was this for Carter Young to be able to get the winning hit to send them to Omaha after all of the struggles that he's kind of gone through throughout the course of the regional and the super regional?
Yeah, he's not going to be 100% at Omaha, but he's going to be close. I think he needed that to sort of solidify himself as you can count on me. Vandy has had a run of like five or six phenomenal shortstops over the past few years. Ethan Paul and Connor Kaiser, and certainly Vince Condi and Dansby Swanson at the top of the list. And Tim Corbin has compared Carter Young to Dansby Swanson a lot. And I argue that Carter Young has become a better power hitter faster than Swanson has. He's just a sophomore this year. And they need a guy like that when they go to Omaha can say, I've seen him get a big hit in a clutch situation. He did it before. He can do it again. Again, that's a short list because they didn't have these guys playing in the postseason last year. So that was big for him. It was also big for the team.
The ballpark that they'll be playing in at TD Ameritrade, notoriously a pitcher's park based on how it's constructed. How beneficial is this for Vanderbilt, given that you cited and what is basically known at this point that they have the best 1-2 punch in terms of pitching on their roster with Rocker and Leiter, damn near unhittable, both of them at this point?
Yeah, it's certainly an advantage. I mean, the path to getting to a national title is pretty simple for Vandy. The way that Omaha sets up, you play one game, two days later you play again. If you go 2-0 in those, you get to sit and wait for like 4 days without a game while everybody else in the loser's bracket plays it out. So if Vandy were to go 2-0 with Rocker and Leiter, you can just sit and wait, and you got to win one more game with your third starter and with the rest of your bullpen, whoever you want to throw in that third game. And then if you lose that one, you could probably come back. You could then come back with Rocker, who would have a week's rest, and win it in an elimination game after that. So they're sitting pretty if they go 2-0 with those two guys. If you lose either game with Rocker or Leiter, it complicates things quite a bit, because not only do you have to go to a third starter who's serviceable, Patrick Riley, he's a freshman. He's had some SEC wins, so he's been good at some spots. You also have Christian Little, a 17-year-old who reclassified to be a freshman this year. They're quality pitchers. They're nowhere close to Rocker and Leiter. And again, if you lose one of those first two games, it's not just going to the next game to win with one of those guys. You're going to have to win with both of those guys to get to the championship series. If you get to the championship series, you got to win two games. That's Rocker and Leiter again. So it all comes down to winning the games you're supposed to win. And with those two guys on the mound, I will say it's not the best matchup in the opener because they're going to play Arizona. Arizona is a contact hitting, a team that hits for average. They don't hit a lot of home runs, but they know how to spray the ball around the field. This is actually a really good park for Arizona to hit. It's a really good park for Vandy to pitch. So that's going to be one of the tougher matchups, I think, in the first round across all the bracket in Omaha.
Adam Sparks of the Tennessean is here with us on 104.5 The Zone.
So, Adam, how does Vanderbilt want that Arizona game to go? I mean, in terms of scoreline, the pace of the game, what would be most favorable for the Vandy boys?
They would love it if Rocker could do, I mean, obviously do similar to what he did last weekend, which is go about seven innings, go deep into the game, have a lead of a couple, three runs, hand it off to one of their two late game guys, Maldonado or Luke Murphy, and have a win with using two pitchers. And, you know, I mean, if they go 2-0, then your bullpen's going to be rested anyway, because you're going to get, you know, 4 days off or whatever. But if you can just use Rocker and one reliever, you've then got your whole bullpen to go if Leiter does get into some trouble. He didn't get into much trouble this year, but occasionally he's had a couple of games where they'll get on top of his fastball and he'll give up some home runs. And you could have a situation where, you know, you have to pull him in the fifth rather than the seventh. You could have the same thing with Rocker. So it's about those guys going deep into games, getting a lead, and, you know, just handing it off to the bullpen. And Vandy's got anywhere from 2 to 4 good quality arms in the bullpen, but each of those guys have been shaky in spots. This is one of the thinner bullpens that Vanderbilt – it's a good bullpen, but one of the thinner bullpens that Vandy has brought just in terms of depth to Omaha before.
Adam, how much do you anticipate a possible Tennessee-Vanderbilt National Championship Series? How fun would that be, and how do you think that might go?
Yeah, I mean, I get the betting lines because Vandy, as I mentioned, there's a definite path to the championship series. Tennessee has won two. They may have to go through Texas to get there. You know, it's just two different teams. It's a, you know, Vandy's sort of a machine that has great pitching, and you know how they can win it and get there. Tennessee is more of kind of riding momentum. You know, Vandy in 2014, when they won the national title, they were sixth in the SEC, and they were, hey, they're a good postseason team, but they're not getting to Omaha. And then they just, in May and June, they just got hot, and they just kept winning. Tennessee is not that, because they had a great regular season. They won the East Division Championship. But they have a little bit of that feel of that team, that they're playing their best baseball toward the end of the year, and there's just sort of this rolling tide of emotion that's going on in making their first trip to Omaha in what, 16 years, so... Two different types of teams, two different styles of teams, two different styles of coaches, and that'd be super fun for Omaha, and it would be real fun for the state.
Adam Sparks is with us here on 104.5 The Zone. At Adam Sparks is where you can follow him. Do you enjoy the infighting between Vandy and Vols fans on Twitter?
Yeah, I like it. What I love the fact is that the two fan bases look at like the other coach, the iconic coach, and say, "Ah, I'm glad we don't have that guy."
Yeah. You know, it's,
Tim Corbin to UT fans, I think sometimes is just sort of this like staunch philosopher that they get annoyed by, and then Vandy fans look at Tony Vitello and say, "You know, be quiet and get in the dugout, and you know, stop having all these situations out on the field and all that." I argue that either of those fan bases, if they had the opposite coach, they would love him for all the reasons that they hate him. You know, if Tony Vitello was coaching Vandy, now they would prefer to have Tim Corbin, but, you know, I look at Tony Vitello as kind of a Steve Spurrier. You know, if you're against him, you hate that he's brash and arrogant, you can't stand the guy. But if he's your coach, then you love that about him. And it's not as much for Tim Corbin, but I think it's the same thing, that if Tim Corbin was your coach, he'd be the best coach in the country. And I would argue that he is anyway.
I would say that's accurate, 100%. So now we do the uncomfortable part. We got to talk about you, because everybody else is celebrating you, so we want to as well, for all the great work that you've done on this Vandy beat. I laughed out loud, Sparks, when I saw on Twitter the framed Vandy jersey that you were given in the press box to commemorate your time covering them, because I thought to myself, the Tennessee Titans would never. They would whisk me out of the building faster than humanly possible, and you, rightfully so, are being honored by the team and the university that you've spent so much time covering. I know you've talked about this a little bit, but what does that mean to a beat reporter? Because it's I don't want to say it's a thankless job. There's a lot of redeeming qualities about covering a team every day, and certainly in your case, covering across all of the sports on a regular basis. But what did that kind of mean to you in your position? Because I don't think people necessarily get to appreciate it the way that you might have.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, if I had been on the beat for a shorter time, I guess that would have been sort of an awkward moment, because it would be if a school or somebody on a beat is saying, "Hey, we're really happy that you've been our beat writer," you kind of feel like, whoa, I didn't do my job, because they should be angry at me for something that I've written, you know, if I'm being critical. But I've been on the beat long enough, 7 years, that I know I have written things that they could not stand that I would uncover and report, and yes, there was still a level of respect there. And that goes to Vandy baseball and the school overall. You know, so I thought it was a sign of respect. I appreciated it. I nearly didn't accept it, because Tim Corbin ended his Zoom press conference the other day by, you know, I had to get some quotes in, and so I was leaving the Zoom, and just as I had my cursor on leave in that Zoom, they said, "Well, Tim Corbin would like to say one more thing to Adam," and I was about a half a second away from leaving that.
Can you imagine?
Would have been talking to an empty screen if they had waited for another half second. He also said, "We've got a shirt for you as a gift," which I assume was like a polo shirt or something. And then they brought in this big, like, 60-pound frame that will go in my office, and I hate homer beat writers, ones that sort of root for the school that they cover. And so I do have the teams that I've covered, the schools I've covered, I've got those. I've got MTSU things because I've worked that beat for 10 years. I've got some others of different teams that I've covered. So now I've got a Vandy emblem, and wherever the next stop, I'll have one of those, just sort of an eclectic mix on my wall in my office.
Well, certainly well-deserved. I think from your standpoint, Adam, because I think the dynamics of covering Vanderbilt, of all the different teams in this city, they're probably the most interesting one, because I think that you have done them, even as you have uncovered things that may be uncomfortable for them at times through your reporting. I think to have your consistent level of coverage, and I know it can be uncomfortable to talk about yourself in this light, but I think that it has been so critical to telling their story in a way that other people may not necessarily be willing to do. I'm pretty judicious about the amount of time that I spend on Vanderbilt because I know what it means for me in the job that I do on talk radio and on the streaming shows that I do additionally. But for you, I think it's such an important part of telling their story because there are so few people willing to actually tell their story.
Well, and I think we're in season now of baseball, and I think this is very timely that if I look back over the last 7 years, the ability and the trust there that Vandy has had in me in storytelling and kind of letting the veil down on some things has been earned through baseball. Not earned by me, but earned by the fact that baseball has been really good, and those are obvious stories there. A large portion of the better stories, the most read stories, the award-winning stories have been in baseball, and they've been in runs to Omaha. And that's when they've been obviously really, really good, the best in the country in that program. And so when you do that, they see kind of how you handle stories and even sensitive topics. Then that can then transfer to football and basketball where they don't have as much success because, you know, if the football team is 2-10 and you want, you know, the backstory on something that may be a little uncomfortable, they're going to say we're terrible this season. We don't want to talk about it. Leave us alone. But if you've done it enough times in baseball where it really helps the program and that storytelling, then they know it's going to come from the same place when you get into football and you get into a struggling basketball program. So, a lot of the success I've had as a beat writer, I owe to the fact that the baseball program is just so, so good that you get those opportunities to tell really interesting stories about interesting players on the best program in the country.
He is Adam Sparks. At Adam Sparks is where you can follow him. Brother, I always appreciate the opportunity to catch up. We don't do it near enough. I don't know if they're going to let me back in the Vandy press box to butcher names on Press Box PA anymore. It's been a while since I've done that, but I'm certainly going to miss your presence around here, and we'll have you on again, no matter what the whatever the future endeavors hold, because I know you're going to kill it.
Well, I mean, I'm on the zone now, so you can be in the Vandy press box. There's hope; these walls can come down.
That's right. Bring down that wall, Mr. Gorbachev. Adam Sparks here with us on 104.5 The Zone. Take care, bud.
Thanks. We'll see.
All right, we will come back and wrap up the show with the polls, and then I'm going to head out to practice. This is 104.5 The Zone. The C is growth at the position of tight end, Lucas. I'll be honest. Jimmy, his disappointment in Jared Pinkney, the Vanderbilt product, who has been talked about by a lot of people, not just Jim, and not just because Jim's a Vanderbilt fan, but Firkser, in the limited opportunities that I've seen of him, I think there's a little something to be desired there. I think they look at him in red zone packages, but that group, it sounds like it is trending in the way that there are going to be additional moves made. And I guess this is the opportunity that a lot of guys will have to prove themselves before training camp and tryout players kind of take a hold on this thing.
And I guess Pinckney's had that strike one, right? He was John Glennon's ding-dong of the week on Blaine and Mickey the other week for not showing up to OTAs. And we can hear from Jimmy Wyatt on what he thought about Pinckney because I totally agreed with him.
Yeah, so here was Jim Wyatt speaking with us earlier in the show on Jared Pinckney's absence at tight end.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I mean, I kind of talked him up when the Titans signed him early in the offseason. He'd been with Atlanta last year and kind of looked at him as a guy who had a great chance to earn a roster spot and in a good position. And here we are, you know, starting minicamp. He wasn't around for any of the OTAs. That one just didn't make sense to me. I mean, I understand guys like Derrick Henry and, you know, Bud Dupree and Roger Saffold and some of these guys that we'll see today for the first time this offseason. I understand those guys kind of doing their old thing and being here for minicamp. I don't get it with a guy like Pickney, who I really liked early in his career at Vanderbilt, and then he kind of went out with a whimper. Not all his fault, but they just went on a very good team. But and then, you know, for him to try to make a good impression, he kind of blew that in my mind, because I think if you're going to make a good impression, you're here all the way through the OTAs and you're showing you're committed and you're showing you're all in. And so hopefully he's out there today for his, from his perspective, and I think he's going to have a hard time making up for lost time, to be honest with you. I still look at that position as one where they're going to add to it. Right now they're trying to get as many reps for these young guys and get along the look as possible, but I still think more help's coming at that position. It's just a matter of who and when, and that's ultimately probably not going to be a good sign for Pickney or maybe some of these other guys. I think there's still spots to be had on the practice squad. I just think it's going to be Ferks or Swaim and somebody that's not on the roster right now when they get down to 53.
Yeah, I think Jim's spot on there. It's not just strike one. It's strike two and three at this point, because these had three opportunities to show up for voluntary off-season workouts, and we will discover whether he is available at mandatory mini camp today. But first, we do the polls.
Stop the count. Stop the count. The polls have closed and the votes have been tallied. Now, here's your favorite Buck Rising show correspondent, Lucas Polzica.
Derrick Henry getting snubbed from the Madden cover, fair or foul? 73% say foul. Personally, I don't really care.
Okay, so, like, I mean, we're the demographic that would care. If we don't care, I don't see why anybody else would care. Like, don't give me the Madden curse. I think that's foolish as a reason to discard something like that. I think any marketing opportunity for your team that you can get is good business, good PR. But I wouldn't be all bent out of shape about it, especially if the two guys that you're competing with are Brady, literally the greatest of all time, and baby goat Mahomes.
Who starts for the Titans at right tackle this season? Dylan Raidens, Kendall Lamb, or other? 75% say Raidens, 20% say Lamb, 5% say other, which I suppose would be Ty Sambrello.
I bet Lamb starts the season. I bet Raidens is in there by like week three.
I would agree. What are you most interested in at Titans mandatory mini camp? V Love says Julio.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of Julio. And that's basically the summary of mine. Quarterback and wide receiver chemistry. That's something that they're going to have to work to develop.
Kyle Pelletier says Jim Schwartz taking over the defense.
Not yet. Not yet, Kyle.
M. Woods says, does Jared Pinkney show up?
It turns out you need to keep your powder dry, as Coach Mack would say, on both.
Robert Platts, who is in injured reserve so we can ask Buck about it daily?
I don't know why I bother to help you people. This is ridiculous.
Chase Capley said, whoever doesn't participate.
There will be plenty of, actually, I don't think there's going to be that many. I don't think people are going to be disappointed by attendance today.
Oh, here's one. Justin Teeple. Buck, when does Dupree come off IR?
Not yet, boys. Not yet. Keep your powder dry.
Steven says the kicking situation, which we haven't really dove into much on this show.
So they have two kickers on the roster. There's only so much you can say about the kickers. I'm sure the competition will start to flesh itself out. And if they think they need help, now would be the time to find it.
And Clayton says the corners.
The corners have been patchwork at this point. And without more understanding of Caleb Farley's situation, more of a sample size of Elijah Molden, we really haven't seen that much of Christian Fulton. We will see how big a difference that Jackrabbit Jenkins makes this week.
Does anyone do their job as well as Adam Sparks? Yes or no? 56% say no.
No is the answer to the question. And those are the polls. That'll do it for us on this Titans Mini Camp Tuesday. I'm going to head out to practice. Make sure that you're following along on all of the Zone social media platforms, because we will be pumping out the content from there. I'll also catch up with you tonight on A to Z Sports Prime Time. But the good news is you got plenty of sports conversation to carry you through up until then, because Blaine and Mickey are coming up next.